Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Thursday afternoon. A good way to start this hour. We just had David Poile. You heard some of the things he addressed with the media today to end last hour. Now we just keep that rolling with Elliot Friedman, our guy from Sportsnet, 31 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada. He does it all. Elliot, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. We had Nick Cousins on the show earlier this week. What do you make of that move by the Predators?
Well, first of all, it was funny. I got a direct message in my Twitter inbox that last weekend. Someone told me that they're a listener of the station in Nashville when I came on, and he sent me a really backhanded compliment. He said that, you know, you talked about Borowiecki and Benning last week, and Nashville signed both of them. He goes, for the first time, I thought you were a smart guest. So I got a good laugh out of it.
Wow.
I thought that was I laughed. I said, that's pretty funny. And the guy was laughing about it. So, I thought you guys did pretty well. I still think you're looking for a score. I do think that. But, around the margins, you guys got some good players at very reasonable deals. Borowiecki, people up here love him. The whole thing last year when he caught the guy who was trying to break into the car in Vancouver when they were there. But also, he's just he's an easy guy to root for, a total long shot who has built a good career out of it, very friendly, treats people well, and extremely competitive and cares on the ice. When Ottawa was going through some really rough situations, he was not afraid to put himself out there as a face of the franchise to stand up for the team. And I think people really respected that. And he plays hard and he's competitive. Matt Benning is another guy. He's an NHLer. He's not a first pair defenseman, but he's an NHLer. He's a solid player. And he's simply lost his job in Edmonton because of the cap. It's not because he can't play. It's because of the crunch. And, those are good players for you guys. And I like Cousins too. Again, I think he lost his job in Vegas, not because he can't play or not because he isn't good enough, simply because of the cash situation that they had, and they're still over the cap right now. They couldn't fit him in. These are good players, and I'm curious to see what David Poile does for a score, because I think you guys are still looking.
Who do you think is that guy? Because obviously his message today was they're in great cap condition. There's a lot of teams, yep, as you just mentioned with Vegas, that are struggling mightily with their cap, mm-hmm, situation. Their cap situation is very, very good right now, which he said most teams are not. So let's say they are in the market for a second line score to play along with Duchesne. Who do you think that's out there? Is Hoffman the guy? Who do you think it is?
Well, I think Hoffman is a guy. He's definitely a guy I've heard linked to Nashville. One rumor I heard, which is it's totally proven to be not true, at least now, is if Hall didn't go to Nashville, Hoffman was going there. And you know what? It may turn out to be true, because I think you guys have talked to him, but, last I heard, it wasn't close or anything like that. So I think he's on your radar. Now, what's obviously happening is that, just as we start this call, Evgeny Dadonov, who played in Florida, just signed in Ottawa for 3 years at $5 million per.
Yeah.
And, I think there's a lot of guys, Hoffman, as a 30-goal scorer consistently, I just think he feels he's worth more than that. And, it's a stretch right now. The money's tight. But I think you're going to see some guys say, I'm still not going to undervalue myself. And I could see Hoffman being one of those guys. Now, I suspect that when Vegas was looking to clear room to sign Alex Pietrangelo, that you guys in Vegas had a Jonathan Marchessault conversation. I think he's a hell of a player. I don't know where it went. I think it's a contract that Nashville could easily handle. I think he's got four years left at $5 million, I think it is. It's a contract you could handle. I don't know where it went. It didn't obviously happen, but you all, and I don't necessarily think Vegas has to do that anymore. But I think those are the kinds of players that that you've been looking at. Hmm.
Do you think Hoffman, the hang-up right now, is just what he wants?
Yeah, I would think so. Like, he could sign, he could sign a 1-year deal right now. He could sign like the same deal Dadonov just got right now, and he could do that easily. But I think he sees his value as more than that, and I think he's going to wait. I think he's going to wait to see if someone can clear space. I think he's going to wait to see if someone feels, okay, we better just make this move. I think he's prepared to be patient a bit.
Who do you think has the best landing spot ahead of them? Bonino gets traded to Minnesota, Turris now in Edmonton, Austin Watson now in Ottawa. Mm-hmm. Am I leaving anything out, guys? I'm trying to remember. Who do you think has the best landing spot of former Preds?
Well, I think that's probably Turris because, you know, he's going to go to a team that can score.
Yeah.
And he's going to a team that needs what he can bring when he is himself. And so, that team has a chance to be really good, and they need what he can bring when he's himself. So I think there's that chance there.
What about Craig Smith? I forgot about him. Craig Smith in Boston.
I think Craig Smith, I know Boston's getting kind of beaten up right now, and they've got some injuries here and there, but I think it's a really good organization. Like I think players go there. It's a great culture. I think they try to put you in positions where you're set up to succeed. I mean, you guys know Smith. I think that's a hell of a contract for Boston. I would say him. If I had to pick over again, I would say Craig Smith. Because I just think Boston really does a good job of putting people in position to succeed. I think if you go to Boston and it doesn't work for you, chances are it's probably more on you than it is on the Bruins.
Talking to Elliot Friedman.
It's a you problem is what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, usually, because they just got guys there who are all about working hard and winning, and they've got great attitudes. I like their organization a lot.
Talking to Elliot Friedman here. Elliot, I want to go back to something you said because obviously for a guy like Hoffman, and of course we're putting Mikhail Granlund on the side, looks like Hoffman would be the one guy who's out on the free market right now where you just pay the money and you bring him in. If it was to be more creative, you mentioned a Marchessault or a skilled player who's on another team that's got to get under the cap. What do you think you would have to give up to get one of those guys?
Well, the thing with Vegas was now it's probably harder. Like before, Vegas had to, they made a trade, which was a terrible trade from a hockey point of view, Nate Schmidt for a third rounder, but they had to do it. They had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
So Vancouver really wanted the player, and they got the player because they didn't say you have to give us something else or you have to keep money. They just said we want the player. So I think that window in terms of doing it that way is probably closed a bit. Unless Vegas decides they want to do something else. Now I think it's much less likely or a much more difficult deal to get. Vegas had one window where you could get them, and Vancouver took advantage. They wanted the player. They made the deal for the player. I think it's a much different situation now.
Are there other teams you would look at? I think you mentioned Tampa a week or so back that had a similar set of players that, you know, they've got other contracts that for younger players that they want to work in. What about their situation, or is there any other team that we should be having on our radar of a move that could be available to the Predators for that type of player?
Well, Tampa's definitely one. I still think a team like Arizona wants to cut payroll a bit. I don't know if there's any matches there, if there's anyone you saw in that series against the Coyotes that you'd like, but they're looking to move a little bit. But Tampa's definitely one. I'm trying to think off the top. Let me look up. Vancouver, like, like Vancouver's tight. Don't know if I see a match there. But I would say Tampa would be one. Arizona would be one. I think Dallas is coming back with pretty much the same team. Those are probably the ones I in a year it could be Montreal, but that doesn't help. I mean, the other one right now is the Rangers. The Rangers have, because they've got a lot of buyout money just for this year. They didn't think they were going to be as good as they were this quick, so they said it's okay for us to do buyouts. And now all of a sudden they had a great year. Some of their guys are due big raises. The Rangers would be another team I would look at and say, if you see a match there, they're definitely going to be looking to do some things.
What do you think is next?
And the Islanders. The Islanders are another one. Hmm. But again, I'm not sure there's a match there.
What do you think is next for Tyler Johnson? And so he's cleared waivers. He's there. Is he just free to grab? Is he a free agent? Or
no, he's not. He was not. There's two kinds of waivers. There's the waivers to put you available, and there's also the waivers to buy out your contract. He was put on the first one. He was not put on the buyout waivers. So his contract is still there. It's a big number. It's about, I think it averages $5 million. It's got, I think, four more years left on it. I think the pitch was that Tampa said, and Johnson's agent said, was, look, he's a Washington State guy. You take him for a year, and then he goes to the Kraken in the expansion draft. And I know a few teams considered it, but what happens if the Kraken don't take him? Then you've got a problem. And so I think Tampa's kind of stuck right now with that situation.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet, and you bring up the Kraken. We've seen a lot of these contracts that are 2 years, 2 year deals of people that you have talked to. Is that because of the expansion draft that'll be coming next summer?
Well, it was funny. We were doing our free agent frenzy show on last Friday, and we were announcing a couple of 2 year deals, and someone sent me a text. He said, "You want to sound smart?" And I said, "Yes, for a change." And he said, "Tell people that there's a lot of these 2 year deals for expansion." And he was 100% right. Yes, I do think it's a big factor. Montreal gave a big extension yesterday to a goalie, Jake Allen, who you guys know from St. Louis. And I was surprised at the money, but one of the reasons they did it was they have a young prospect named Caden Primo, who they were going to have to potentially expose if they didn't have another goaltender who met the eligibility requirements. And now Jake Allen does. So, I think you're going to see, like, you take a look at Benning and Borowiecki. Those are good players who can help you, but you know now that those are likely the kinds of players that are going to be exposed in the expansion draft. It's just the nature of the business. You have to be prepared for it.
You know, when we talked last week, I brought up Bobby Ryan, and I was all on the Bobby Ryan to the Predators bandwagon. 1 year, $1 million, which is what he got in Detroit. But what do you think of that fit for him, of being that fresh start? And he's obviously not the same player that he once was, but Detroit is also not at the same level of a franchise as they once were. So why is that a good fit?
I think that for Bobby Ryan, that's a guy who's made a lot of money, and I have no problem with that. Everybody gets paid what someone's willing to pay them. I got no issue. So he doesn't need to go anywhere for money. He's gone through a lot, and I just think he wanted a place where he was going to play, and he was going to play a lot. Like, if he comes to Nashville, there's a chance he could play a lot, but he also knows it's a bit more stacked. I think this is a guy who needs to repair his confidence a bit, feel better about his game. And in a place like Detroit, he's going to play a lot on a team that doesn't have much in the way of expectations. And I just think that's what he needs. He just needs to feel good about himself again. And if he goes somewhere and, the competition is fierce, and maybe he doesn't get that role right from the beginning, a chance to get his feet underneath him, it probably doesn't help. I think it's, for where he is in his life and what he's trying to do with his game, I think it's a really smart play. They're going to lean on him right away. He's going to get a chance. He doesn't have to worry necessarily about someone taking his role. I think it's a very smart thing for him to do.
What do you think the market is right now for Mykael Granlund? He's still available.
It's unbelievable. So Dadonov, who just signed, so in the first, I guess today is the seventh full day, I guess, counting Friday of free agency, I think he's just the fourth forward to get a contract that's over $3 million. The only other guys who got it were Taylor Hall in Buffalo, Tyler Toffoli in Montreal, and Craig Smith, you guys know, in Boston. And last year, in the first 5 days, there were 11 such contracts. And this year, there have been four in the first seven. Like, the forward market, guys, has totally cratered. We knew the goalies would go fast because there were a lot of them out there. There were a lot of teams that needed one. They're worried about next year's schedule being really back-to-back heavy. Everybody knew they couldn't be without a dance partner. They badly needed those guys to get a spot. Some of the big defensemen went, and the forwards, like, they've had very few bites, nothing long-term. It's really been something, and Granlund's been caught up in that. Now, I think the biggest question is, I was speaking to a guy who represents another forward who's still out there, a decent player, and he was telling me that his guy now is going to wait. He's, number one, we're about to head into arbitration, so some teams have to find out what their arbitration situations are going to be. Are they going to settle? Are they going to have to go through the hearing? The teams have another buyout window potentially? Do they have to buy out someone else to change because their situation changes? So I think there could be some more stuff that happens after next week or next couple of weeks. But this one player told me, I will wait into next season if I have to. Someone is going to get injured. Someone's going to lose a few games, and they're going to need a player. And I'm prepared to be that player. So I think, you know, Granlund's had offers. I think Carolina's been in there. I think Columbus has been in there. I'm sure there's been others, but those are two of the ones I've heard. I just don't think he likes the offers. And all I've heard is that they're not in a rush. That's the only thing in particular I've heard.
True story, and I'm pretty sure we've told you this. Back at the beginning of last season, or this past season, which feels like forever ago, we were approached as a show off air by our program director and said, hey, we've got a sponsor that you guys can have a weekly hockey guest. We've got somebody attached to it that where you can do that on the show. Okay, great. We get a paid guest. Who do you guys want? Number one on our list, we said start with Elliot Friedman, and then we'll go from there. That's a true story, and I'm not telling you that just because you've been on with us. You were the number one choice from the get-go. We didn't have a clue if you would ever agree to do it, but we're glad you said yes. You may be regretting it today, but you did say yes okay. back then, and we can't thank you enough for 2019 and all of 2020. You didn't have to stay through when nothing was going on and we were just sitting here from our homes like we still are and there was no sport taking place, but you did. And we're thankful for it. And we hope that you appreciated or you enjoyed this as much as we did. And we hope that we're talking to you in 2021. But with all that being said,
we will.
No matter what happens, we really, really appreciate what you've done for this show. So thank you.
You know what? Like, first of all, thanks. And secondly, I had a great time. I really liked it. I enjoyed doing it. I kind of look at it this way. Like, we're all in this together, right? Like, we need all needed stuff to talk about. We all need to take our minds off how much real life has sucked for a lot of people in the last few months. So I was happy to do it. I had a lot of fun. And I think it's great that there's interest in a city like Nashville, a market like Nashville, for a hockey guest to come on. You know, I know it's been 20 years now and you're a huge part of the league. And I can tell you, we're all very happy to have you. But, you know, like, it's just good that there's enough interest there that somebody would want a guest to come on and talk hockey in a newer market. So I'm happy to do it. I'm thrilled to do it. I had a lot of fun.
It wasn't always like that, Elliot, but we are really, really glad and thankful that we are where we are today because we tried. Willie and I tried for years, and people just said, you can't do it. People don't want to hear it. Just talk football, man. Nobody wants to hear you talking hockey all the time. You couldn't do this stuff. And I'm glad that those days are way, way gone in this market and in the rearview mirror. In fact, they're not even in the rearview mirror. We can't even see those days anymore. So, you know, we used to also talk about Tuesdays and Thursdays in Bridgestone Arena or whatever the heck it was called then, the Nashville Arena, SoMe Center, all the Gaylord Entertainment Center, whatever the heck we've had over the years. You could throw, you know, you could throw grenades in there on Tuesdays and Thursdays and not hurt anybody, you know, which probably isn't a nice thing to say, but it's just the point is there were a lot of empty seats, and we haven't had those talks in a long, long time either. So, yeah, thanks for saying that about this market. We're proud where we are today, and it's just forward progress. We'll just keep doing it.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime. Happy to do it.
Thanks for doing this. Thanks, have a Elliot. Great rest of your 2020.
You too, guys.
Elliot Friedman right there, Sportsnet 31 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada. He's been with us all season long and through the entire shutdown. And we really, really appreciate it. We've enjoyed Thursdays at 1 o'clock. And hopefully he'll be back with us whenever next season starts up. The heavy rumors are January 1. So hopefully he'll be back with us at the start of 2021. We'll pause. We'll take a quick break. Come back with more of Darren Donick and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
But the game right now is at the plate. In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened. You know, I said it once before, a few days ago, that Kirk Gibson was not the most valuable player, that the most valuable player for the Dodgers was Tinkerbell. But tonight, I think Tinkerbell backed off for Kirk Gibson.
Hard to believe. 32 years ago today, that moment happened.
I remember where I was.
In World right. Series history.
Can I see, because you guys know who the play-by-play was. I want to see if I got this right. Is that Howard Cosell?
What?
I don't know who that, I mean, no. I'm taking a guess.
What?
Is that Al?
Did you just really say that?
I did, yeah.
No.
Who was it?
Oh, what? Chase.
I don't know. It was before I was born.
He follows us 32. On Twitter. He follows us on Twitter.
That was Vin?
Yes, it was Vin. Are you kidding me? Chase, I'm very disappointed.
Doing him for 60 years.
Well, I'm sorry. It didn't sound like him.
That didn't sound like
is
Vin.
Blinking fertilizer.
Man, Chase, I thought you were joking.
Well, I was 1 year old. I guess, but well, yeah,
you
no,
don't recognize
bad.
His voice. When
that's bad. That's bad. That's Emi. That's bad. At
wow,
Chase on game.
Howard Cosell.
Well,
no. 32
Holy
years
cow.
Ago.
You just made the list.
I have bubbles from Ryan.
That was brutal.
Wow. That's one of those
I'm
you'd
stunned.
Like to pull back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Darren, do you remember where you were when you were watching it or no?
It was 1988, October, probably at a keg party,
okay.
I guess. Underage keg party. Probably not studying like I should have been.
But it's not one of those where you know exactly
probably
where you
watching
were.
Sports, which I probably should have been studying. Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah. I don't remember.
I remember. I was at a friend's house. And I was still in high school, senior year in high school, and I remember sort of half dozing off. You know, you get to the point where you're just lying there on the couch, and you're watching. You're like, A's are ahead, Eckersley's in, it's probably over, and I was just nodding off, and then I came to just in time, and you know, then of course we all just jumped off the couch and said, "Did you see that? What the heck?" You know, it was. It was what a moment that was. And of course, I was already heartbroken because he had already ripped the heart out of the Mets in the 7-game series of the NLCS before that, when he actually got hurt. Before he got hurt, he had a couple of huge games in that series, including a game-winning homer in the 12th inning of the swing game of the series. The Mets could have gone up 3-1. Instead, they come back and tie the series in that one. Then he comes back the next day and has another big game, and Oral Hershiser took it from there. So I was already hurt, and then this happened. But that, you just can't deny that moment. It's still one of the most iconic home runs ever.
I think I remember I went up there to adjust the antenna before he hit that home run to get a better picture. I think I got
some rabbit ears. You probably had cable. You didn't have cable in 88?
Yeah, I did.
You probably did.
That big, huge box.
Now, what did the clicker? You had the big box.
TV.
Yeah.
Ginormous remote.
Everything was huge back then. Huge microwave, huge TV, huge cable box, huge remote. The phones back then, if you had an actual car phone, which is what they were called then, a car phone, because it was mounted in your car, it was huge.
Let's go to Darren on a car phone. Yeah, you talk about huge phones, huge TVs. I'm a huge idiot for not knowing that was Vin Scully. So
we're going to try to move on from that, but
I deserve it.
Not your.
I deserve it. That's whatever. And it happens.
He follows us on Twitter.
I know. Vin, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Man,
did it for 60
we
years.
We could get the unfollow.
Years. Come on.
I know. If we get the unfollow.
If he unfollows us, we know why.
You're going on the list. If he unfollows us, you're going on the list tomorrow for sure.
You want to talk about something that's frustrating? That's frustrating.
Thank you, Nick.
Daryl,
how you feeling?
Daryl Morey, is that his name? Daryl Morey of the Houston Rockets. I love this. I love wording. He has stepped down as the general manager of the Rockets. No, you don't step down as a general manager, a longtime general manager. You're fired. It's presented as you step down. You were fired. You were shown.
Okay, listen, we're going to let you resign, but you don't have a choice.
But what is the point in that, honestly? What am I missing? It's just window dressing.
Yeah.
You've been let go, okay? You can present it however you want. You've been let go. You don't just come into work and be like, hey, guy, you know what? I'm just going to resign. I'm done.
I think it's kind of a – I mean, we've seen it twice here. I mean, it's kind of a respect thing. I mean, Jeff Fisher –
And it's a contractual thing.
Mutually agreed to part ways. Jeff Fisher was fired. Barry Trotz, kind of the same thing. I mean, it's just however you want to spin it, it's kind of a – Let's try and be respectful of the time that they've given the organization and what they've done. But, yeah, everybody knows what it actually means. So, I don't know.
It looks like Tyronn Lue will be the new coach in L.A., the Clippers, which a lot of people suspected he would get it.
See what he can do.
And I think I just saw – what did I see? Was it – help me with this, Elijah. I just see – I may just be making this up. Chauncey Billups as one of his assistants? Did I just make that up?
I haven't seen that yet.
I think Chauncey Billups is going to be one of his assistants.
But he's been like in the running for some head coaching jobs. Like, there's been a lot of organizations that have been incredibly interested in Chauncey Billups.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw that during the break. Billups is one of his assistants. So, but Daryl Morey has stepped down as the GM. He just woke up and said, you know what? I don't need this. I don't need to do this. I think I'm going to do something else. Yeah.
No, he said, yeah, revolutionizing the NBA and how we play it by shooting a lot of threes is getting a little old. Sell insurance.
He definitely not having a player over 6'7".
He definitely did that. And it got him a certain amount of the way.
Well, it got him to the playoffs every year.
I mean,
got him pretty deep to the playoffs a lot of years.
Biggest sin, I guess, is not beating the Kevin Durant Warriors, which might be the greatest team we've ever seen play basketball, and LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So
he has said some pretty idiotic things over the years, though. He's put his foot in his mouth a lot.
Yeah, sometimes. But in terms of being a GM, I mean, he's changed the way the NBA's played to this day. And that franchise was a mess until he came along. Kind of like Dusty Baker thing with the Reds. I mean, Mike D'Antoni's gone, and Mike D'Antoni's one of the most innovative coaches in the history of basketball. Daryl Morey's one of the most innovative GMs in the history of basketball, and their biggest sin was just not beating a couple of the best teams we've ever seen play. He got him James Harden, which at the time people were like, oh, that's a lot. They gave up a lot for James Harden. And James Harden's become one of the greatest scorers we've ever seen in the NBA. So it's one of those things, the grass probably isn't greener on the other side of the fence. And I think we're going to see that, especially if they end up hiring someone like Jeff Van Gundy, which is what's looking like the case.
No, wait a minute. I thought it was Stan.
Oh, they're interviewing Jeff, which is worse.
Oh, it's Jeff?
Stan Van Gundy.
Oh, wow.
They're interviewing Jeff Van Gundy, who was there 13 years ago. He was there with Tracy McGrady.
I like him as an analyst because you just don't know what the heck he's
When was the last time he actually coached?
Darren, do you remember we were at the Super Bowl and we went to see the Rockets play when he was coaching? Yao Ming was there and we ran into him? Do you remember we were coming out of the media area and he was just kind of like having a moment to himself in the hallway and we were like, you and I were having just a normal conversation. We looked up, we're like, whoa. Sorry, we sort of interrupted your, get your game face on.
Are we lost? Did we?
Did we take the wrong turn here?
Are we not supposed to be in here?
Yeah, I don't think we're supposed to be here.
What's really funny is, I've seen a couple pictures on Twitter now of pictures of him standing next to Yao Ming. And I think Jeff Van Gundy's like 5'6", 5'7". And he could fit in Yao Ming's pocket, which is hilarious. And I've seen a couple pictures of those on Twitter recently. I have to dig them up and send them to you guys, but it is hilarious. But, yeah, that is the last time he coached in the NBA, and it was for the Houston Rockets.
Do you guys like him as an analyst? I do, because I think he's crazy.
I do.
Just don't know
what
he's going to say.
I don't.
You don't like him?
He's also on top of something that I would like to see, and that is they've got to minimize to a degree the replay system. It's too many times they're going over that scorer's table. It just messes up the flow of the game.
I agree with that at some point.
You got to modify that.
And he is not afraid to say it.
He is not afraid.
He's not afraid to say it 1,000 times during the broadcast, and that's where I get annoyed. It's like, dude, I get it. You've talked about the replays, and you've cried and moaned about the replays for 30 minutes now. This is getting more monotonous and boring than the replays themselves. That's where he gets me. It's just like, yeah, I get it. You hate half the things the NBA does. I'll get off your lawn if you just shut up. Like, that's he's been on my list for a while. Like,
I can tell.
Wow, we've hit
a hot
button here with Elijah.
As an analyst, he's really not bad, but I'd like to hear more of the analyzing instead of the complaining. I like a lot of things he does say. It's like, I get it, dude. You hate the replays. We all do.
What do you expect from a guy that was hanging on to somebody's leg during a fight on the court?
That's changed him forever. I mean, that's scarring.
Iconic.
That scared me, too.
Was it Alonzo Mourning's leg?
It's either Alonzo Mourning or Larry Johnson.
No, it was Alonzo Mourning.
Yeah, which is terrifying.
With the hair flopping.
Yeah.
He was hanging onto the leg with the hair flopping.
What do you expect from a guy that was hanging onto somebody's leg during a fight?
He didn't attempt to break up a fight. He survived the fight.
Yeah. I mean, I think you kind of know what you're getting. That's the way I look at it. All right, let's go back to something we were talking about with Elliot Friedman. What is the plan for next season? By the way, we're about ready to wrap up. I mean, we're getting close to moving into November. Where do we think this is going?
Got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I mean,
I think there's a lot of work that has to be done, and there's a lot of information that they need. What is the plan? How many fans are reasonable inside? With the caseloads of the virus, what will the winter look like, right, as opposed to where we sit now? There's just a lot of things that are really hard to know. Obviously, they want to play all 82 games. This is just – I'm trying to put together everything I've heard on this from the various reports, but the goal, they would love to start around January 1st, but starting off January 1st with – even some fans in the building may not be something every team can do at that point, just probably depending on where you are, how many cases there are in those spots. What's the philosophy of those cities at that time? And then how do you go about paying the players if you can't play all 82 games or you can't play all 82 with fans in there? So this is going to be difficult. Same thing goes for the NBA. I don't think it's any different there. As we've talked about a lot, the two leagues communicate a lot between each other because they have more or less the same model, right, in terms of dates, and sometimes they share buildings. So I don't think it's as clear cut as you crank it up January 1st, you figure out what kind of percentage your fans are, and you go. That's one possibility. I'm hoping it's that simple, but it may not be.
Yeah, I don't think it is either, based on everything you just said, plus Elliot told us a few weeks ago that they don't want to play unless they can have people in the building. So,
right.
I think it's a long road. Unfortunately, I'd love for them to have an announcement in the next few weeks saying, "Yep, January 1st, that's what we're going to do." You know, we're not going to necessarily have the Winter Classic, but we're going to make it a big day, make it to get things going for the NHL, and we're going to get 82 games in. I just don't think it's as simple as that. And there probably are several different plans, some that involve, you know, bubbles again, some that involve, you know, fans in the arenas. It's kind of a day-by-day process to see what the individual cities look like. I mean, what's Canada going to do? And right now you still have Canadian teams that are having to play in the States because U.S. teams can't travel into Canada. So it's, you know, that's obviously something that's got to be figured out.
That's a big part of it, I think, is what will that look like? Just the feasibility of, you know, your seven teams in Canada able to come freely back and forth, all the teams that go up there and play games against those teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the equation for sure.
And I thought I saw a tweet or something saying that there could be a Canadian division, that they could just, you know, do it that way and have them, the seven, you know, all the Canadian teams play each other. I mean, there's just a lot of different things that are out there right now, but that's certainly going to be a big part of trying to figure out scheduling, because are you really going to expect those teams to go find, you know, a secondary home until travel's all right?
I think they're probably putting together several models of, here's one way we could do it if we can get this many fans in. Here's another way we could do it if this is the case. So it's just like you're trying to set up all the different options, and as you get closer, you make the call of which way you're going to start. But, Chase, I think you hit on it. You know, my thought of you crank it up in December and you play the first month in a bubble and then you start having fans, you know, it was all nice, but it's certainly not cost-effective to have the bubble, right? And I think they're to a point now where, like, we've done this long enough, we can't buy any more time. We've got to have some fans, but how many fans and when can you start having fans? Those are things you cannot really answer right now.
Right.
I want to talk about my friends at Cool Springs MD. I've been talking about them for years now, and that's because I've been going there for years, and a lot of you have been going there for years, since 2007 to be exact, as they've been here in Middle Tennessee helping a lot of you improve your quality of life. And I know, I would hope that everybody wants that as we all get older, right? Just, and no matter what your age, improve your quality of life is a good thing. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, who is the board certified physician over there, and his wife Daphne is the registered nurse. Their experienced staff can help you in so many ways and so many things. They house a lot of things under one roof, like hormone replacement therapy. Maybe you've been feeling off lately, haven't been feeling yourself, haven't felt like doing anything, and you're wondering, what's wrong with me? Why is that? Well, go talk to them about that. They've got ways to help you. They can check your levels and see if they have dipped way down, which does happen as we get older, but they can help you in that. Face and body rejuvenation, weight loss management. I know everybody has probably gotten out of their routine. Hopefully, most of you have gotten back into a routine, but if you didn't and you've put on some unwanted pounds, you can talk to them about that. They got programs and people that can help you get going in the right direction immediately. If you need to schedule an appointment or a consultation, dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always learn everything about them by going to their website, coolspringsmd.com. This is the end. Beautiful. Don't forget to tune in to our NFL Game of the Week on Sunday. That's brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. This Sunday's Game of the Week, we have the Packers and the Buccaneers. Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. with a 3:25 kickoff right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. There is no Thursday night game tonight, so if you're looking for that on NFL Network or wherever you would be searching for that, CBS, it's not going to be there because the scheduled game was supposed to be the Chiefs and the Bills. And, of course, that is not going to happen. That has been moved to Monday night. So that game will actually be played at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, our time, on NFL Network. Chiefs, Bills, that's on Monday. And then the regularly scheduled Monday night game will be on ESPN, Cardinals, Cowboys. So I think two intriguing games on Monday night. But just so you know, if you were looking for a Thursday night game, there is no Thursday night game tonight. Let's go over some of the Titans news and notes that have happened today. Let's start with the guys they're getting back.
You got the list,
or do you want me to do it?
Well, we know it starts with the big man. We know it starts with the big man. Jeffrey Simmons is back in.
Big Jeff,
who said, and unfortunately, this is one of the symptoms. Sometimes you lose your taste. He said, "I had to eat. I had to make sure I kept eating to keep my weight where I needed to be, but I couldn't taste anything." So he was just talking about his experience of while being on the COVID list. But it is good to get him back in there. That's the big one. I know that
Dane Cruikshank.
Yeah,
Cruikshank is a key special teams guy, a guy who goes into those nickel and dime packages. You know, he's got his role carved out. So he's a subtle one, but I think an important one.
And they put Darrington Evans on IR, and then yesterday had activated Adam Humphries and Cam Batson from their the COVID list. And, of course, we mentioned the trade of Kamale Correa. So several roster moves in the last couple of days.
Anything on Corey Davis?
Have not seen anything yet on Corey Davis. And that
not sure he's eligible yet, though.
Yeah, I don't think
eligible yet, right?
I don't think it's been 10 days.
He was one of the last guys to get the test, right, or to test positive.
Christian Fulton is now eligible, right?
Well, he's been activated. He's been activated.
I thought they, but they deactivated him for the game, right?
So I think he is much more likely to fill to be in the plans for Sunday's game.
Yeah, he's on the roster, so I would think he would be good to go.
And that was an intrigue. They asked Mike Vrabel about that today. You activated him, but I guess you didn't feel he was ready to jump in there. That was more or less, I guess, the assessment. You know, it's funny. You got the Ty Smiths and the Chris Jacksons. They used those guys, and they felt good enough about those guys that they didn't have to rush Fulton back in.
I thought Jackson played pretty darn well.
I think he's not bad. He seems to be a nice little find. He's not the greatest, but that seems to be a great trait of them, especially with DBs. We have seen the nightmares where you know, all these guys are circled. As soon as you see them in the game, you're like, oh boy, here's where they're going after them. And you can't get any mileage. But Jonathan Joseph, who's older, he's probably having to do more than they hoped he would have to. He's hanging in there. Ty Smith, when they need to go get him, Chris Jackson. And so they've gotten through to this point unscathed, having to dig pretty deep into the depth chart there. Of course, it helps when you have two really good safeties that will work so well together in Byron and Vaccaro.
I also thought the fifth-round pick from NC State didn't look half bad.
Murchison,
They may have something in him.
Yeah, he's liked him, too. He's made plays, and that's with those guys. I mean, how many times have you heard Floyd say it over the years? You get those guys in the late rounds. I mean, you're not expecting to call their number a lot, but when you do, you expect them to make a play, and they've done that.
That will do it for Thursday's edition of Darren Donick and Chase. We'll be back tomorrow to wrap up the week. You enjoy the rest of this beautiful day. Be safe, and we want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time. Turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time. One last call for alcohol. So finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.